Okay, then if you open your Bibles with me to Romans 13 again, we move on to verse 8, we're up to Romans 13, verse 8. So if we all stand as we read the word of our Lord, I'll read Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would make these words alive, real to us. Give us clarity and understanding that we may apply them to our lives, that we may live for the glory of your Son. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so from verse 3 all the way back in chapter 12, we've seen the apostle has been instructing us on how we are to live in this world as Christians, how God expects us to live in this world in light of all the mercies he's given us in saving us in the gospel. We have already looked at the instruction he's given us and guiding principles on how we are to relate to one another in the church meetings and how we are to relate to Christians in our church body in normal daily life. And then Paul gave us instruction on how we are to relate to unbelievers that we normally come into contact with in daily life in this world. And then in chapter 13... we were given instruction, we saw, on how we are to relate to government and the ruling authorities of this land. And so from verse 8 here, what the apostle does is he kind of sums up and rounds off now all he's been saying about this. Paul often teaches this way, doesn't he? Could I go a bit higher? I feel like I'm shouting. Paul often, he teaches this way, he introduces what he's speaking on, then he explains it, and then he finishes by kind of rounding off and summing up what he's been saying. So if you want to sum up all Paul's teaching he's been giving us on Christian living and the guiding principles there, if you want to sum up what Paul has been teaching, we have it here in these verses now. And so he begins in verse 8 by saying, we are to owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's Paul's summing up of all his teaching on Christian living. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, this first part, though, with verse 8 here, owe no one anything, it has been often lifted out of context by some people, and in doing so, they end up completely missing what Paul is saying. But some people have wrongly taken this first part, owe no one anything except to love each other, they have wrongly taken it to mean that a Christian should never have a mortgage or a loan. Now, we can be certain, though, it does not mean that, because the next verse here, Paul then argues that this instruction he's giving here is consistent with what the Old Testament law taught. Notice in verse 9, he then proves his point by saying, for the commandments teach this, what I'm telling you now. So, what he is teaching here, this guiding summing up principle, does not contradict what the Old Testament teaches. but it's in perfect unity with it. It's right there. And of course, in the Old Testament law and all the commandments, you find much instruction there about borrowing and loans, both in the Old Testament law as well as in the Psalms, as in other places. Scripture does not tell us not to borrow or to lend, but it gives instruction on lenders not to demand extortionate interest rates, and gives principles for borrowers to pay back on time and so forth. But in regard to finances, we see in the previous verse here, verse 7, we are told, "Render therefore to all the due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due." Not just the tax man, but render to all the due. Pay what you owe. Don't pay your tax in an advance of time, but pay what you owe on time. You see, as a principle you could take here is pay your bills on time. Pay the payment when it's due. I mean, when you realize that this instruction comes in a passage about how our relationships with one another and living in peace with all men if possible, well, just consider, brethren, you know, how many quarrels and much hurt and hardship comes from people lending irresponsibly or from people not paying back when they should. You know, people asking others to borrow money, saying, "Well, I'll pay you back on such a date," but then not doing so. And then you see them going out blowing the money that they could have paid back, and so forth. You know, much harm is caused by lending irresponsibly, and in so getting people you're lending to in unnecessary trouble. You've got to lend responsibly even. But also, many quarrels come from being negligent in paying back. Or if they borrow things, not returning them when they should, or not returning them in a right state. Lloyd Jones gave an application on this, that when you borrow a book off someone, give it back at the first proper opportunity. If you're not going to read it, just give it back, and then, and if you are reading it, give it back as soon as. I remember when I taught on this a couple of years ago, where I taught on, I think it was Sunday, I came Wednesday, and people are coming with bags of unreturned stuff. But don't hold on to things any longer than you have to, is one application here. Well, it can be the source of unnecessary quarrels, can't it? I'm sure you all know the feeling. Maybe you plan to watch a movie one night with a family or a few friends, and you're all sat comfy, you have the popcorn ready, and then you realize that several months ago so-and-so borrowed the DVD and have not bothered to return it. Or you lent a book. You're looking for a book and you realize you lent it out. Or perhaps one of you ladies plans to cook a nice recipe for your dinner tonight. You've got all the ingredients, but then you realize a month or so ago, the dish you need to make it in, you was doing a good deed for so-and-so. Perhaps they was ill or had moved house, so you made them dinner, but they've not bothered to return it. Or perhaps you're about to do a bit of DIY or maybe a spot of gardening, but then you realize the very tool you need has been lent out to someone. They came to you, said, "Could I just borrow this for 10 minutes and 3 months has gone by?" And you can't get hold of them. So you have to postpone whatever you're wanting to do. Now, I'm sure most of you have been there, if not all of you. And you know how you feel about that person at that point in time. They're your favorite person in the whole world right then. But also, in those circumstances, it so often happens that when you call the person who you have lent whatever and they have not returned it, they give you a response like, "Can you not find something else to do? Can you not find something else to watch?" Or, and they come across as, "Why are you hassling me?" And they try to make you feel like you're the one in the wrong. Listen, if you have held on to something that's not yours for too long like that, and the person has lent it to you, calls you up, then don't respond with that bad attitude. It's not yours. So you have no right to be like that. So give to people what is due. Give money when it's due, when you owe it. Return things you borrow in good and reasonable time and the condition that you lent them in. Give respect to whom it is due. We gave a full sermon on this one when we first turned here. To those in authority, and give praise and thanks when it's due. When people do something good, a good turn worthy of praise, tell them, well done. Thank people when they do good. Otherwise, you're withholding what is due. But the Christian life, Christian living, is not merely to settle our debts, so to speak, and give the dues, pay the bills, and not be in debt. But as our text says, owe no one anything except to love each other. You see, there is one thing we do owe, we always owe as Christians, we constantly owe, that is to love each other. To owe another is to be in debt to them. To owe another love in giving what is due, I mean, this is something that is ongoing for a Christian. It's not like you borrow something off someone and then you give them back and it's settled. But this is an ongoing thing, you owe love. You're always in this debt as a Christian. Do you remember all the way back in Romans 1, verse 14, the apostle said there, he said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Basically, I am in debt to all types of people, he said. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. The gospel, of course, being the good news of what God has done to save us in Jesus Christ. I'm in debt to all types of people, so I'm ready to preach the gospel to all types of people, he said there. You see, the apostle felt this, that he was indebted to people, all types of people, to share the gospel with them. Now, the way he felt himself to be in debt, though, was not because after all these different people have done so much good to me, he now owed them. That's not what he's saying there when he's in debt. Some of these people may have done him good. Many of them may have done him harm. Many of them he'd never met, but he felt in debt. You see, this is more like the example of, supposing Tim Jones over there, or Gaynor even. Gaynor has a problem with the back, and Tim with the feet and legs. Supposing they find a cure, I hope they do soon. Maybe it's a certain medicine, a dietary change, doing something different, a vitamin or whatever, but they find a cure, a remedy. They're cured, perfectly healthy, walking fine again. Well, supposing they then see someone they've never met before, but they can just tell from observing them that they're going through exactly what I was going through and suffering all that pain. Well, even though you've never met that person before, you would just feel a need naturally, as if you owe it to tell them. They may not receive it, but I mean, you'd feel immoral not to share it if you've been cured of something like that. You'd want to tell others. You see, this was the Apostle Paul. He knew what it was like for all these people. He knew himself what it was like to be in this world without the Lord, to be enslaved to sin. He knew what it was like to be a self-righteous, religious moralist, but lost. And so he felt indebted to people, to want to let them know the good news of what Jesus Christ has done so that they can be saved and right with God. You see, in a similar way, we have a debt to love people. We are told in verse 8, Not because people have done good to us. Some of them may have. Some of them may have done us harm. Some of them may be somewhat neutral. We may have never met or spoken to many people. But we are a debtor to one another, to all people, all those we come in contact with, because after all the love and mercies God has shown us in saving us by the gospel, when we did not deserve it, as Paul has described in chapters 1 to 11, that we owe this love to others. You see, this is really a summary and rounding off of all the instruction Paul has given us in how we are to live as Christians from verse 3 of chapter 12 all the way to verse 7 here. If you want to sum up all the instruction Paul has given us on how we are to relate to people we come into contact with in our daily lives, Christians and non-Christians alike, with those in authority, in government and so forth, you can sum it up in one word. Love. Love them. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. This is the way we are to live and relate to others, loving one another. The way we are to live right before God, if you want to sum it up in one word, is to love. And in verse 9, as I pointed out earlier, this is what the Old Testament law and the commandments taught, Paul tells us here. You see, loving others is not contrary to the commandments in the Old Testament, but it's actually what those commandments ultimately teach, Paul points out here. For, he then says in verse 9, for the commandments say this. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, quoting some of those 10 commandments we've been looking at on Wednesday nights in our study in Exodus. And any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's simpler enough. It's not rocket science what he tells us here when he says, if you love, love does no wrong to its neighbor. If you love, you fulfill the law. If you love, you keep the commandments. It's not rocket science what he's saying. You see, if you love someone, then you're not going to commit adultery with their spouse. If you love people, you're not going to murder them, are you, even in your heart? If you love people, you're not going to steal from them, and so forth. And so as verse 10 continues, love, acting in love, does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. When you love others, you are fulfilling the law. We have been saved to fulfill the law because, and you're going to do this, by loving. You know, sometimes when I ask godly pastors like Charles Light or Tim Conway for advice on how to deal with certain situations, after giving us some advice and some principles, wisdom and instruction from the scriptures and experience, they will often sum it up by saying, love is to be the guiding principle. You see, in deciding how we are to act and respond to certain situations, you could sum it up in this way. What is the loving thing to do? How can I love this person? Now, I want you to notice, though, and this is very important, that loving, biblically speaking, loving people according to Scripture, is consistent with what the law teaches. It's consistent with what the Scripture teaches, not against. As Paul tells us here, this is what the commandments of God essentially teach. If you were to sum up the Old Testament law, you can do it in one word, love. It's so important you realize this and understand if you're going to love people properly as Christians and live properly. Because there are people who go to the extreme of saying, Well, since we are just to love people, and we are to do the loving thing, if love is to be the thing in Christian living, then I'm just loving people. And so the result is that people sometimes claim they are acting in love when they are acting in complete contradiction to what the Word of God teaches. But as we see here, to love does not contradict what the Scriptures teach. You see, just as the Apostle James said, faith without works is dead. A faith in Jesus that does not lead a person to do good works and live rightly before God is a dead faith that does not save. Well, in the same way, love without law is dead. When people have a kind of love and try to love people in contradiction to the principles of God's word, it's just sentimentality. It's a mushy kind of love. And really, before God, it's not loving them at all. I want you to notice here, Paul does not just say, we are to love people and leave it at that, does he? He doesn't say, you know, how to live as Christians, just love people. But he has spent over a chapter on giving us the details of how we are to do this. And then he's told us that this is what the Old Testament law teaches in the commandments. So you can go there and find more instruction on how to love. And you can go all over Scripture, of course. You see, it's not enough just to tell people to love. You can have two homosexuals or two people in an adulterous relationship saying, well, we're just loving each other. What's wrong with that? And you can put a lot more examples in there where people say, oh, well, they're just loving each other. They're loving each other all the way to a never-ending eternity in hell, which is not loving them. You see, Paul does not just say, love them here, but he gives instruction on how to love. Just like it's not enough just to tell a child, be good, but you have to teach them what it is to be a good boy or a good girl, how to be good. See parents teaching children to share and things like that. That doesn't come naturally. Snatching comes naturally. You see, this is what the law does. You see, when people go to the extreme of saying, I am just loving people, so I don't need all this instruction, I don't need all the details, in so doing, they are putting their idea of love against what the Word of God says, and so they are not loving people. You know, this applies, to give you some examples, things like church discipline we've covered recently in our membership classes. Church discipline, when confronting sinners and when someone is unrepentant in whatever sin and they're put out of the church, and Scripture tells us to shun them. Well, you have some places who say, well, we don't do that because we're loving. They obviously think they're more loving than Jesus, who told us to do that. And then there are always those who think, yeah, we do practice church discipline, but whenever it happens, I've always got a problem with it. So they really don't believe in church discipline, because again, they think they're more loving than Jesus. But then when people are put out and it speaks of shunning, not having fellowship, there are always some who, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm the loving one. Because again, it's thinking someone is more loving than God when his instruction in Scripture tells us to do that. You see, in that example of church discipline, you know, when Jesus tells us to treat them like the tax collector, the Gentile, and Paul, not have fellowship, to shun, to cut this person off in unrepentant sin, he's not saying don't love them. He's not saying do that because you don't love them. but because we want them to see the seriousness of their sin. And when they see the seriousness of it, this is often what leads them to repentance. It's actually the loving thing to do what Scripture teaches. But when you get those who refuse, and they, you know, they go, they put their arm around the people, and they stay with them, and they're always shamelessly trying to defend them, what happens is the person in sin doesn't come to repentance. They're getting justified in their sin to carry on. They're being encouraged by those people refusing to break off. So that's not loving them. It's encouraging them all the way to hell. And they will have blood on their hands at the judgment. Same with divisive people, you know, listening to discord and things like that. When Scripture tells us one thing, to not give our ears to that, and people are putting their arm round and giving their ears, then that's not being loving. Do you remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Then they was boasting, wasn't they? Because they had a man in immorality they was refusing to put out of the church. They was boasting, we're so tolerant, we're so loving. Paul said, no, you're not, you're arrogant and puffed up. You see, it's harming the person, though. You see, when God's word instructs us to act one way, you can't love people by doing the complete opposite. Paul does not say here that love has replaced the law, does he? But the Scriptures guide us, we'll look at more of this, of how it works, but the Scriptures guide us on instruction on how to love people. I mean, think of it this way. When Tracy studied to be a doctor, what do you think she learned there? Do you think she just learned that, well, do you want to make people well? Yeah, I want to make people well. Great, you're a doctor. But you have to learn how to do this, how to do the right things. Or, well, you can cause more harm than good by helping people, can't you? You can have the right intentions, if you like, if untrained there, and intend to do right, but be causing more harm than good. You see, this is what people do when they put their thinking above. Again, we're not to be conformed to the mindset of this world. You see, another thing we see here is love is not mechanical. Obeying the commandments of the law is not mechanical. To live right and do right before God, we must never think in terms of just being mechanically right, you know, like a cog in a machine ticking off a checklist. That's what the Pharisees did, didn't they? And they were all lost thinking, you know, I'm okay so long as I don't do this and I don't do this, so long as I keep this rule and that rule. It was all mechanical. But rather, it is acting in love. That's how a person truly keeps the law of God. The Pharisees were experts in the law, so they thought, but they had missed love. So they were always to the letter. They were always mechanical. I mean, they had all these Sabbath regulations. And yet they rebuked Jesus for healing people on the Sabbath. Because they had missed love. They were straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. The picture there is because of, you know, these clean, unclean insects, they would be straining all the liquids that they drank, making sure that they didn't accidentally swallow something they weren't supposed to swallow. And Jesus said, well, they had all these rule and regulations to the letter, they swallowed a camel. Because by doing all this to the letter law, they were killing people, including themselves. You see, the law of God is not meant to be kept mechanically to the letter. We get principles. The letter kills, Scripture says. It's the spirit of the law that matters. We take principles from it. Of course, Paul has already told us this back in chapter 12, verse 2, when he told us there in the previous verse that we are to present ourselves, our whole selves, to the service of God, to live for him out of thankfulness for all the mercies he's given us in the gospel. He told us there in verse 2 of chapter 12, we are not to be conformed to the mindset of this fallen world, but we are to have our minds renewed by what the Word of God says. And he said, this is your reasonable or spiritual service. It's not mechanical, like ticking off some rituals and doing things which are apparently stupid, but it's reasonable. You know, we've said this before. We looked at it also at the end of chapter 12, I think it was. It's not loving to give money to an obvious drunkard or a drug user. People think, oh, I'm being loving. Here's this beggar. I'll give him £10. I'm so loving. They're going home, patting themselves on the back. Thank you. He's got his hit of heroin for the day. It's not loving to give people money so they can buy substances to kill themselves with. But you have Christians who give to a beggar like that because what happens, they take one verse of Scripture out of context and they think, I've got to give. Give to those who ask. And they're being mechanical, they're being to the letter. They're not being reasonable. They're not thinking it through. And so because, as Paul said, the letter kills, they end up helping this person die. You know, it's the same with various struggles. When someone has the pity party, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Having the big sulk, someone thinks they're being loving by, I'm going to put my arm around them and listen to the whinge and the calling of others. But that's not loving them. Because when someone has a pity party, they're wanting to be the center of attention. So it's not loving to help make them the center of attention, is it? And encourage them in their woes. The loving thing to do, especially if that person is a Christian, is to tell them of their position in Christ, and that's not fitting behavior, that ingratitude and so forth. And if they're a Christian, they're going to respond. We'll come back to more on this, Lord willing, next week. But love, to love people is always in accordance with what the Word of God teaches. Love fulfills the law. It does not go against the Scripture. As Paul said, remember he spoke of the teaching, the goal of our instruction is love. Teaching you these Scriptures each week, the whole counsel of God and what God has done for you and how to live as Christians is basically teaching you how to love. Giving you the instruction on how to do this. You're taught the gospel, which is the motivation, and of course God changing you through it, and the power to do it. And the whole counsel of God on the details, on how to love, on changing your mindset from the fallen world to the mindset of a Christian. You see, when people, and you can put many examples in here than the ones I've given, but when people reject these things and say, I don't agree with that, I'm just going to love people. But they're going against the Scriptures, well, again, it's just saying they're more loving than God. Paul didn't mince his words, did he, when he said, no, to the Corinthians, you're not being loving, you're being arrogant and prideful. But this is the goal of our instruction. This is what we're looking for in Scriptures, principles, how we love people. And it's reasonable, and we'll be looking in the next week or two, Lord willing, of how we approach the Old Testament law as Christians, how we take principles. to love one another. Again, Christian life is not mechanical, ticking off a checklist. Just like I mentioned giving earlier. That's not something mechanical, but joyfully, from a cheerful heart. And there's all those principles, isn't there? Again, it's love, whatever you put in there. So let's pray. Our Father, we ask for forgiveness for any times we have put our wisdom above what the Scripture teaches. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, you would instruct us, that this would be our guiding principles, that you would do a work. Help us to love, instruct us on how to love, because we want to show your love to the world, to be lights. In Jesus' name.